Finding the right foundation is harder than ever. IL Maquillage makes it easy to find your perfect match online. No store required. With 50 shades of flawless coverage and over 60,000 five-star reviews, the hype is real. Their online quiz uses AI to find your ideal shade in seconds. And with Try Before You Buy, you can try your full-size shade at home free for 14 days. Take the quiz at ilmaquillage.com/quiz. ilmaquillage.com/quiz.
You know, money is attached to dreams. And I just want people to, you know, to know that you can still dream without any money. It's all about manifesting it, you know, and really believing it. So if I can instill that to a few kids, you know, during my tour, then that would be a great thing for me. The Genie Show.
This is a Daily Gin, and joining me on the show today is a South Asian brother, I have to say. His name is Mr. Bolly. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. What's up? What's up?
Hey, Mr. Bolly. Now, I have to say that I generally go out and I source my own guests because I'm very big on keeping the conversation authentic. But I have to say that I admire your hustle because you reached out to me like, Ginny, I want to be on your show. I'm like, yeah, cool. I need to do this in person. You're like, no, can we do this on like online, or because I'm in Canada and going to India. And I have to say, one of the things that drew me to you was your pure hustle. And I think that comes from, well, I can relate to this too, but it comes from your South Asian genes. Would you agree it's kind of inbuilt in our genes to be hustling and working hard?
Yeah, my parents came here, like, I think in 1969.
Sorry, Mr. Bolly, when you say they came in 1969, is they came to Canada?
Yeah, they came to Canada. You know, they did self-business, self-made man, you know, self-made family. They went out, you know, distributing cotton, import, export. So a lot of traveling back and forth from here to India. And it's been a great experience for me because I've been there like around 11 times in my life. So I've seen how hard my parents worked to raise me and my two brothers, and it definitely instilled work ethic in my life. And a lot of people in the studio where I work at, they say that that's what they attract with me, is that I'm always constantly working. I'm very consistent.
It's really, I would say, the immigrant DNA, isn't it, to be work. But what I find really interesting is you've got two hardworking parents who generally, when they migrate to another country, they start their own business or make their own life, so to speak, because it's a country of opportunity that they land in. And there's that kind of motivation and drive not to waste time to build a better life for their children and future generations. How did your parents and family react when you took a line less conventional to what, you know, the South Asian culture is used to, and you pursued music?
Well, 8 years ago, I went to India, and I told my parents I was going to go to Bombay. And they didn't really like it because, you know, they said it may not be the environment that they want me to be in. But my music needs to be, you know, with my people, you know, and I'm here in Canada. So it's really hard for me to, like, you know, get people to listen to my music. So me going back to Bombay this time around, when I told my mom, this time she had a different reaction, you know, because first time she's like, no, I don't want you to go. But then 8 years later, she's like, you're very mature now, and I think you're ready for it.
Wow, that's fantastic. So there wasn't that much objection with you pursuing music? They weren't like, oh, we'd rather you take a more stable line of work or that kind of thing?
Well, you know, my dad's always been strict with me. So yeah, I can see his, you know, point when I was growing up. You know, he wanted me to focus on studying and stuff. So I did do political science, and I did, you know, art program in university, and I have my bachelor's. So, you know, they really did instill a lot of education in me, and they wanted me to finish off what I was started from before with the schooling. So I promised them that I did it, but I still maintained my love for the arts, you know, and I can't really, you know, stop doing what I love. So they finally kind of like said, okay, you know what, if this is what you want to do, then we're going to support you. And especially my mom, she's very creative. And my dad is also creative. He's like an interior designer, you know, so he has like a lot of like skills with his hands. But, you know, obviously Indian mentality is always like, well, you know, if you're going to do music, that's a very big risk, you know. And for me, it wasn't a risk. It was more to do that. I enjoy doing this. So it doesn't matter how long it takes for me to get to where I need to get to, you know. And the last couple of years, I was able to do, you know, 30 shows, travel to Malaysia, get my music out to Toronto, Ottawa. And now I'm going back to Ottawa. And then I have like a Holi festival here in Montreal. So things are kind of like building up to a point where I'm going to, you know, get 30 to 50 shows lined up. And it's really turning into something that where I can go full time.
It's fantastic. And just touching on what you said about how, you know, your dad was very much like going to your studies. It's funny that you say that too, because my dad, like for the whole 10, 15 years that I've been on radio, because I used to have a radio show back in Melbourne, a morning show, he couldn't ever remember what radio station I was on. Like every week he'd come and go, what station is it? And I'd tell him a different station just to, you know, screw with him a little bit. But what he did remember was that I actually went to university. He remembered the name of the university and he remembered what year I left university and what degree I did. So it goes to show on the scale of what's important to him, he will remember what he believes is important to him. But I think eventually my family and himself too have accepted this is the way she is. She's a little crazy. She loves her arts. Let's let her do it. Going back to like your roots, Mr. Bolly, you want to actually donate 10% of your earnings that you earn on tour to a small village in India to help children pursue and develop the skills that they want to do to live the life they love, really. So obviously you're really looking to give back to where you came from.
I think with the kids is that, you know, the kids in the smaller villages and, you know, places where they're a little bit more less fortunate, I think the problem is with that is that they don't really get a chance to dream, you know, because they never see it. You know, it's not visual to them. Here we're located in North America, so it's constantly advertised that we can, you know, do whatever we can do with ourselves and achieve whatever dreams we want to achieve. But no one's really telling these kids in those areas, you know, that they can be what they want to be. So I think, you know, donating this money from my tour, you know, 10% of it is going to allow me to, you know, kind of like teach people that don't have exposure like we do. So to give them the privilege to say, look, you can dream also, and maybe I'll potentially inspire someone to do something great later on in their life. And I think that's really my main purpose is that, like, I don't want people to lose out on dreaming, because dreaming is free. You know, it doesn't cost money to dream. So I just find with society nowadays and everything that's going on, it's like, you know, it's forcing someone to spend money to dream, or, you know, money is attached to dreams. And I just want people to, you know, to know that you can still dream without any money. It's all about manifesting it, you know, and really believing it. So if I can instill that to a few kids, you know, during my tour, then that would be a great thing for me.
Yeah. I think also the important point there is you mentioned that dreams don't cost money, but dreams do cost a lot of hard work. Would you agree?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I've been doing music for like almost 25 years and I haven't stopped. It's very like, you know, nonstop, and it can get very tedious.
Hey, sleepyhead. Why so sleepy? Oh, it's because your mattress is a bag of potatoes and scrap metal. You should try a Nectar mattress. With award-winning layers of comfort, you can sleep easy knowing you got incredible value. Mattresses start at just $499, and you get hundreds of dollars in accessories thrown in, as well as a 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to NectarSleep.com.
I have like almost no sleep. You know, like sometimes I have 15-hour days and, you know, 12-hour days preparing my sets, getting prepared for the, you know, performances, recording sessions. So yeah, there's a lot of dedication involved. If you want to do anything in life, I think there's a dedication involved. If you want to be a doctor, you know, you have to go to university and you have to go through the procedures of doing that. It's still a struggle to be a doctor. So it doesn't matter what field you choose. You do have to put that effort in, you know, especially music. You know, music is such a competitive environment and it's a cutthroat industry. And, you know, you have to have like a skin that's built of like a snake skin, you know, in a sense where you have to kind of like be resilient in this industry in comparison to the other ones.
You've really hustled your way through. I mean, you said before about how, you know, you want to inspire kids to dream, but, you know, you've also been at that stage where you've worked 9 to 5 and that you've done everything else and you have long days. Another thing that I really enjoy about what you do is, and this can kind of relate to what I do for full-time work as a podcaster and podcast producer, is what you're actually creating is a form of content and you're putting it out there as much as you can and you're doing what you need to put it out there. If you've got any advice for any aspiring musicians or artists, what would it be?
Okay, well, you know, a lot of the artists nowadays, they're getting like really construed with the whole social media thing. You know, they're spending a lot of time, you know, trying to get their Instagram likes up, their Facebook likes up, and their views on social media. I mean, social media is important, but I think my approach was a little bit more like 1970s, where I kind of like started knocking on promoters' doors. And I said, you know, just put me on stage. You're not going to regret it. And I'm going to throw a good show and you're going to want me back. You know, so if you're an artist, my recommendation is to do as many shows as you can. Try to get in as many festivals, submit emails, stay up all night, you know, look online, research, and knock on people's doors and do it the old school way at first. And then when you're doing 10, 20, 30 shows, then at that point you can say, okay, you know what? I want my social media to get improved. I want these other things to get improved. But I think the mistake the artists are making today is that they think that they're going to have like 100,000 followers on Instagram and they're automatically going to sell records. And if you're not touring and you're not promoting the music on stage, then it's highly unlikely that someone's going to want to buy your music anyway. So it's kind of like, instead of being evolved in a digital state of mind, go back two steps and say, how did they used to do it in the 70s and 80s? Is they used to knock on people's doors, go and network, go to parties. You know, sometimes you may not want to go out and party, but still go out and meet people because you never know where it's going to take you.
That's actually some great advice there. And that's actually some advice that I share with my podcast clients that I produce for, is that you've got to employ that or deploy that patience across your project, whatever it be. And sometimes doing those 20 or 30 shows, you may have to do a good chunk of them for free, but hey, you're getting some performance experience under your belt, right?
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, I would say maybe 2.5-3 years ago, when things started getting a little bit more serious for me with the music, yeah, the first few, like 5 or 6 shows, I had to do them for free. But what I got out of it was a lot of press and media and exposure and traction. And then from there, you know, people started finding out about me and they started booking me at other places. And then other places, it's like a domino effect. So you never know who you're going to meet at these venues either. You know, you think you're going to a venue and you're not going to meet someone. Next thing you know, there's, you know, people from the music industry there. There's booking agents. There's producers. There's so many people that like to go out and party and chill. So if you're not putting your body physically out there in the world, then you're just depending on social media and kind of using it like a veil. Then you're blocking your art. And I think the artists have lost track of what art is. There used to be a mystery behind art. So, you know, instead of revealing everything on social media, you should go out there and perform it on stage and have people have like an expectation to come out and see you. But if you put everything on social media, they're not going to want to come out and see you because they've already seen you on Instagram.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, that's some great, great advice there. Mr. Bully, you're recording a few things coming up and you've got some exciting news coming up as well. Do you want to share with the Daily Gin listeners what you've got coming up?
Basically, what's going on is I just got contacted yesterday by the Holi Festival here in Montreal. And the reason why they do Holi in the summer instead of in March here in Montreal is because March here, there's a lot of snow. So what they do is they delay the Holi Festival till about July. And then, you know, there's about 3,000 or 5,000 people that come out from different cultures. It's not just, you know, Desi or South Asian. There's a lot of Caucasian, a lot of African Americans, a lot of people that come out to support the Holi Festival because they enjoy, you know, what Holi represents. And so they called me yesterday and I think I'm going to be MC and hosting the event and I might be performing one song also. So that's coming up. And then I'm also doing the South Asian Festival in Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada. And I performed there last year and they rebooked me again. So I'm going to be doing that as well. And then from there, after that, I'm heading out to India and I'm going to start touring 20 to 30 shows. I'm also working with a new producer, Jay Newtone and Dennis Selick. These guys have been helping me out immensely and they've been creating some really amazing magic with me. So that's going to be coming out shortly also. A lot of new music.
Fantastic. And you've got a podcast coming out too, which I'm very interested in. And obviously The Daily Gin is about podcasters and helping people start creating audio content, podcasting, or whatever content that may be useful for them and their brand. Tell me a little bit about this podcast.
Okay, it's pretty interesting. I met a man, personality in Toronto. His name is Sabi GTV. And what he's been doing is that he's from India and he moved to Toronto And what he's doing is he's becoming this YouTube personality, and he's living out his dreams. And basically what he does, he goes out there into different cultures and he talks about what other cultures think about Indian people. So basically he's an Indian guy that comes here living out his dreams. And then basically with me, what happened was I'm going to India to live out my dreams. So I'm a Canadian citizen that's actually moving to India to give a, you know, a better situation for my family and my life. And he's coming down here to give his family a better life. So what we're going to do is we're going to mirror it, and we're going to call it the, you know, the other side of the coin. So basically it's called the other side of the coin, is to teach people that you can't look at life from one perspective or one side of the coin. So Sabi would be the other side of the coin, and I would be the other side of the coin. And through looking at his side of the coin and him looking at my side of the coin, we're trying to figure out how we can achieve our dreams. And through our experiences and you know, to learn off of each other on what it takes for him to make it here in Canada as an Indian that's, you know, coming from abroad, and how it's gonna, what it's really gonna take for me to make it in Bollywood as an artist, you know, coming from Canada. So all of these things are gonna teach people that, you know, if you're out there to dream and you want to dream and you want to aspire to something, you don't have to tie yourself down to one side of the coin. So if you're born on one side of the planet, you might have your destiny waiting for you on the other side of the planet. Don't close the door.
That's some great advice there, Mr. Bolli. And I have to say too, obviously you're kind of living in each other's parallel universe when you think about it, with this format that you got coming up with the podcast. Growing up for you, obviously India and Bollywood has a great history, and obviously role models and actors and actresses and all these talent come from India. When I grew up in Australia as a Sri Lankan immigrant, I didn't see many role models and examples of Sri Lankans who were making it. It's ironic that MIA was the first person I saw, and it's ironic her name was MIA because every other Sri Lankan seemed to be MIA, missing in action. So yeah. Tell me, when you were growing up, what sort of role models did you have around you that you saw? Did you see any in mainstream media that you could relate to and go, oh, hey, that's someone like me. I belong in this world too.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if it's South Asian influence, I would say Apache Indian definitely made me feel that, oh, okay, you know what? Brown people can be mainstream. You know, it kind of like when he did the Arranged Marriage and Boom Shakalak and all these hit songs. And, you know, I was a teenager at that time. So it was a huge influence, because to see someone with the same color skin as me or the same background as me to do something so huge, definitely inspirational. I mean, then you can look at people like Rishi Rich, you know, and there's several examples out there of people that are trying to, you know, create different boundaries for South Asian art. You know, I find the main issue with South Asian art is that, you know, if you look in the Latin community, they all come together. So, you know, even though Jennifer Lopez is one type of Spanish person, every single Spanish person out there is supporting Jennifer Lopez. So I think that's why the Latin community made it into the mainstream, you know, especially like with Fat Joe, you know, Enrique Iglesias, Jennifer Lopez, you know, the list is long. There's about five or six or seven artists in that generation that came out that really stapled the Latin community on the mainstream market. And I think the problem with the Indian community or the Desi community in general is that because we're not coming together, there's no unity between us. It's actually hindering our progress to become mainstream, because a lot of the people out there can't really identify who we are, because sometimes we're like, oh, you know, I'm Pakistani, or I'm Sikh, or I'm Muslim, or I'm Hindu. And those divisions within ourselves is confusing the Caucasian market and the mainstream market to look at us and say, well, what are you? Are you Punjabi? Are you Hindi? What are you? You know, so Desi, if we're going to be Desi and we want to represent Desi, that means it's everybody. That means it's all the people within our culture. But then that means everybody in the culture has to support each other. The Sikhs have to support the Muslims have to support the Hindus. You know, it all has to come together as one, just like the Latin community did.
No, that's a good point there. It's interesting that you say that, because in Sri Lanka, 80% of the population is Buddhist. My dad is Buddhist as well. My mom's Catholic, but I am not a huge drinker. I rarely drink alcohol. And that's just a personal preference, because I don't like the feeling of being hungover. But straight away, when I tell Caucasian people that, they're like, oh, that's part of your religion. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, you got to kind of educate them that there's different divisions of the Desi, like you said.
Well, you see, the thing is, we're advertising it that way. So therefore, the mainstream market can't say, okay, well, the Punjabis are more mainstream than the Hindi people are. So it's kind of like we're confusing the general public by not being together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense. Now, Mr. Bolli, I like to ask my guests some questions to wrap up, and I want the questions to be fun. So are you ready to take these on?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. First question. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Yes, I do.
Great. And how do you take phone calls in there? Where do you draw the line of phone use in the bathroom?
Oh, I just, I usually listen to music. That's music. About it.
Just music. All right, cool. Question number two, what coffee do you drink in the morning, if you drink coffee at all?
Oh, I absolutely love Blue Mountain coffee from Jamaica.
Nice. Do you just have it straight black or do you put some milk or cream in there?
A little bit of cream, a little bit of sugar.
Have you tried Australian coffee?
No, I never tried it.
Okay, you need to try Australian coffee. Next time when you're in New York, I'm going to take you out to one of the Australian cafes here and you can tell me if that's going to replace Blue Mountain.
Okay, well, I mean, I kind of like Turkish coffee too.
All right, cool. That's good to know. That's good to know. All right. Question number three. If you could invite three people to dinner, dead or alive, who would they be?
I would be Michael Jackson, Prince, and Martin Luther King.
So you're pretty much going to have this dinner party in the afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so I can actually see the influence of Prince and Michael Jackson. How did Martin Luther King influence you?
Like I said, I'm a big supporter for people that like to help people dream, to open up their minds and enlighten themselves. So I think Martin Luther King, with his speeches and his direction, I think everything that he said was correct. You know, he really, really meant it. You can see the genuineness in what he was talking about. You know, some people create a narrative and you listen to their narrative and you're influenced by them. And then you're like, okay, they're cool. But then you can always tell that there's some lies in what they're saying. But with Martin Luther King, there's really no lies, you know, it's just straight to the point, facts, you know, this is what the problems are in our society. This is what we've stopped believing in. And it was just a lot more easier to understand him in comparison to any other role model out there.
Great. Well, that's a very, very great statement there, Mr. Bolli. Question number four, if you could swap places with one person for a day, who would it be?
Oh, wow. Okay. If I was to swap with one person for one day. Wow, that's a hard question. Dead or alive?
Dead or alive.
Okay. I would say I'd want to swap with Michael, man, because he was the king of pop, king of music, you know, and I'm a musician. Yeah. I'm an artist. So for me, you know, if I can influence the world like him by 10%, I think I would have a great career, just 10% of what he did.
Great. Fantastic. And I guess the last question is, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Okay, well, in the next 5 years, I see me touring all across South Asia, Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Jakarta, Indonesia, Singapore, Dubai, release a few albums in the Desi community. And it's the first time in my life that I'm dedicating my art to my people. Before, I was doing a lot of English music. And now I'm doing a lot of Indian music. And I feel like in the next 5 years, there's a lot of big potential for me, not just musically. I think I'm going to end up probably in the movies, you know, playing maybe evil roles, like villain roles. I'm definitely not going to be a superhero. You know, I leave that up to Akshay Kumar and these guys. But yeah, I see myself in the movies. And I also see myself doing a lot of political movements, like in a sense where like creating awareness to the causes out there, you know, that I may want to support. I mean, I haven't really made a decision which ones I'm going to really be sponsoring full force, but I'm looking into it. I recently met an artist that influenced me immensely, and she's extremely active and proactive on the scene, creating awareness for, you know, different types of causes. And I've been talking to her. And basically, she's helping me to find the direction on what I want to do.
Fantastic. And Mr. Bolli, I can't let you go because my Ginny Show listeners would probably kick me if I didn't ask you to do this. Can you give me your best impersonation of a Daisy uncle?
I told you 100 times. Make it on time. 10 p.m. is the curfew, okay?
Something tells me that you were actually told this as a child.
Baskan. Go to sleep. You're not allowed to go out.
You know,
never.
You know, Mindy Kaling's company. Well, I forget what it's called, but at the end of her company, like when her movies or TV shows end, when her company produces TV shows, at the end of it, it's always like, go to bed. So it's very much her dad. I'm thinking is coming out of that, which is hilarious.
Yeah, my father always used to tell me, go to bed. And I'm like looking at him, it's 8:20. I'm like, what's going on, man? Like, what is up with you?
Oh, dear. And it's also every time that you leave the house, they think you're going to die.
Well, they say if you're going to go out, stay out. Don't come back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. They really like, you know, like they manipulate, you know?
Yeah, very subtly, right? It's like, okay, you will die. You will die if you go out.
Don't make me tell you I told you so.
This is fantastic. I might need to get you to come on the Ginny Show and do a few uncle voices for me, Mr. Bolly. Well, Mr. Bolly, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure chatting to you, and you've really enlightened and enriched me on your hustle and how hard you're working to pursue your dreams. So actually, I can't wait to catch up with you in a year's time, and let's see how far you've come.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, man. There's a lot of things going on, magical things. You know, I'm going to end up in Malaysia. Then I'm going to end up in so many different places. And it's just a blessing that the music is taking me there, you know?
That's fantastic. Well, make sure you check out, where can we actually find you online?
You could go to Instagram, which is Mr. Bolly Music, MrBolly Music. And you can also Google me. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, videos, old releases. It's not hard to find me. You know, go to Facebook, Mr. Bolly. I mean, it's just very simple. My website's going to be launched shortly. My YouTube channel with the podcast is being launched shortly as well. So just stay tuned.
Fantastic. Let's make sure you check out Mr. Bolly at Mr. Bolly Music on Instagram. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's time to party. The Ginny Show.
Hi, this is Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Are you tired of feeling housebound? I sure am. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. It's a high-performance auto curler that's rechargeable and gives you up to 60 minutes of cord-free runtime. Just think of all of the incredible hair looks you can create in 60 minutes, unbound, away from your wall. Don't get tied down by cords. Love your look, live unbound. Check it out at conair.com and search unbound.